Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
An uncertain future for a rickety old piece of music history, and it involves this band, R.E.M. I'm John Schaefer. Today on Soundcheck, old meets new in the Appalachian-inspired soundtrack from the TV crime drama Justified, and we have a live performance from the Kentucky-born singer-songwriter Daryl Scott. But we start with the debut album from this band, R.E.M. Actually, we start with the back of that debut album. It was called Murmur. It was released in 1983, and back then, these future superstars were just four buddies living in the college town of Athens, Georgia. The songs, like Radio Free Europe, attracted a lot of attention, but so did the album art, apparently. And that back cover featured a black-and-white photograph of an old wooden railroad trestle. Now, nearly 30 years after that picture was shot, the trestle is in danger of collapsing. And that's where Cameron McWhirter of the Wall Street Journal picks up the story. He joins me by phone from Atlanta, Georgia. Hi, Cameron.
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm well. So what is going on down there?
Well, it's one of these interesting, quirky parts of rock history where something becomes preserved sort of by happenstance and becomes an important, iconic image for people, really out of some strange reason that the band can't even explain. So in 19, like as you were mentioning, you know, the band was not famous, but they had gotten a record contract and they were getting a lot of attention. They were in Athens, Georgia. They had all dropped out of college, and they were on the edge of becoming very, very famous. And they had a friend. They sent her out with a roll of film. In those days, they actually didn't have digital cameras, mm-hmm. and they actually had albums. And they went out, and she on the last frame of this roll of film, she shot this bridge, this railroad trestle, and they put it on the back of the album. End of story. Except the band, this album became very important to a lot of the fans. And when it was eventually shut, the railroad was eventually shut down. And when the company that owned it tried to tear it down in 2000, REM fans across the world went ballistic, and they wanted it saved, and the county bought it for $25,000. Mm. They bought this rickety old bridge, and now they're stuck with it, and they don't know what to do, but if they tear it down, the fans will be upset, and everyone's pressuring everyone else to try to save it. REM has said they don't want anything to do with it because it would be creating a monument to themselves.
What about that photographer that you mentioned, the one who took the shot?
She thinks it's bizarre because she just took a picture randomly. It had nothing to do at that moment that she snapped that photograph. It had nothing to do with the band. The band hadn't been there.
Mm-hmm.
But people saw it, you know, kids in their 20s holding the album all across the United States were looking at that back cover and seeing this sort of wistful southern iconic image that they embraced.
Yeah, I mean, it's not quite the Beatles cross at the zebra crossing at Abbey Road because, as you say, they were never really there. You see their pictures kind of superimposed on this picture of the trestle. Now, Cameron, I'm looking at a photo of the trestle today.
Yeah.
And it looks like a pile of sticks. I mean, it looks like a moderately sized bad wolf could huff and puff and blow this thing down.
Well, I was there a week and a half ago as I was reporting the story, and you can put your finger in it, and it'll crumble. And yeah,
you mean
it's
the wood?
Good shape.
The wood will.
Yeah,
crumble.
The wood just it's a wood trestle, and it's cool looking. There's no question about it. It's as one person I interviewed said, it's wicked. It looks very cool,
but is it dangerous?
Yes, and you can walk right out on it, which I sort of did, but I didn't go too far because you wouldn't be talking to me right now. But people have gone out on it. There's no real way to block it off. Also, it's going to fall down at some point, and then the wood that it's treated with is sending pollutants into the creek below. So it's a big nightmare for the county, and it's one of these things where people do want to preserve. You know, REM is a huge influence in Athens, Georgia, and has
sure.
done a lot of good things for the city. They contribute hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars to local charities, and they didn't leave. You know, most of them never left throughout their entire career. The band is officially broken up as of last year, but they, you know, they've become real sort of public, you know, public do-gooders in the town. So people want to preserve them. People are big REM fans. They want to remember this band. But this trestle has become an albatross.
And as you mentioned before, the band themselves in a joint statement really don't want to have anything to do with this this push to save the wooden railroad, this disused railroad trestle that's on the back cover of this, their debut album from 1983. Catapult from the 1983 debut album by the band REM. The album was called Murmur. There was something vaguely haystack-like on the front cover and on the back cover, this wooden railroad trestle.
I think that indicates that you're not from the South when you said vaguely haystack, because that's actually dead kudzu.
Dead kudzu. What would a city boy like me know from dead kudzu?
Right, exactly.
I wouldn't know living kudzu.
Right, right. Well, once you see it, you'll never forget it, yeah. But, yeah, so it's this very sort of, yeah, again, this wistful southern imagery. And the town, you know, the aesthetic was, it grabbed lots of young people, me included at the time, many, many years ago. Mm-hmm. And people really embraced this trestle was something that people stared at, and people actually cared about album art at the time, which
right.
is now something that's sort of irrelevant.
So it became sort of emblematic, sort of iconic of Old South maybe meeting New South, something like that?
Yeah, and yeah. this bizarre mix of cosmopolitan aesthetic, but also, yeah, this haunted South.
Yeah. Well,
and Athens to this day still embraces that, and, you know, the B-52s came out of Athens.
Lots of bands,
Yeah, lots of bands keep coming out of Athens, and they're very, very proud of that heritage. But if you preserved everything everywhere that REM or the B-52s walked in Athens, you'd have a real problem.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they've got a problem. What to do with this trestle? It's falling down. The county commissioner says it either falls down or we take it down. Fans of REM not happy. And Cameron McWhirter's article is on our webpage, wnyc.org/soundcheck. He's staff reporter for the Wall Street Journal, on the phone with us from Atlanta. Cameron, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
This is Soundcheck.
Let's talk about the passion.
Soundcheck listeners, do you have a local landmark somewhere that has special meaning to you because it's somehow connected to a band or an artist that you like? Post a comment on the Soundcheck page at wnyc.org/soundcheck. And for now, we'll leave behind the college town of Athens, GA, and head up to coal mining country in southeastern Kentucky. Up next, how traditional and contemporary sounds from Appalachia shape the sound of the cable TV crime drama Justified. And then later, a musician who knows a thing or two about Kentucky, the country singer-songwriter Daryl Scott, will join us for a live performance. This is Soundcheck.
Down in Sunday school, learning about the golden rule, but even Jesus couldn't help me today. Praise be to Lord.
Lonely road, trying to make it home, doing it by my lonesome, pissed off, who wants some? I'm fighting for my soul, God, get at you, boy, you try to poke on my phone.
This soundcheck, I'm John Schaefer, from Athens, Georgia, to the county of Harlan, Kentucky, which, it turns out, is quite a dramatic place, at least the fictional Harlan, Kentucky, of the FX crime drama Justified. The Peabody Award-winning show is now in its third season, and in addition to coal mines, moonshine, and murder, it also features a fair amount of music. In a moment, we'll talk with a Kentucky native about making music in the real-life Harlan. But first, we're joined by the man who gives the fictional Harlan its distinctive sound, the show's music supervisor, Greg Sill. He's on the line from L.A. Greg, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you for having me. Good day, everybody.
So the story of Justified basically is it's coming from an Elmore Leonard story, Fire in the Hole, and it's this U.S. Marshal, Raylan Givens, played by actor Timothy Oliphant, and he's got a little Wild Wild West thing going there in Harlan, Kentucky. How did you go about setting the kind of the right sonic mood for that?
Well, that's a great question. It started with the pilot. I didn't originally do the pilot. Somebody else did, and I was handed a pilot full of music that cost, I won't even give you the figure, but I had to cut it in a third.
You mean it cost in terms of licensing the music that they had chosen?
Licensing music, yeah. It was an exorbitant amount of money. So FX said, look, you're going to have to find us music that's as good or better for this amount of money, and that was a challenge. So as soon as I knew I had to do that, I did a bunch of research, and the learning curve for me was huge because, I've done a ton of music, and this was something that I'd never done before. I'd never done this kind of music, so it was a challenge. But we wanted to set a tone for characters and especially Timothy.
So you've done Friends, you've done the music for ER and numerous other shows. Justified is a little different. As you say, it's a specific place. It's a place with a long history, but it's a very modern show. So where were you looking? What were you going for?
Well, that's a great question. The first season, when people think about Kentucky, it's, in your mind, symbolically, you immediately think about, well, it's the South. And the editors began to put in music like, Stand By Your Man and some great old country western hits. And, my budget obviously is prohibitive, so we couldn't put that in. But I said, look, what I'm going to do next season is go in and talk to the writers, because I've done this for so long. I went and talked to the writers and the producers, and we sat down and had a conversation about, look, why don't we make these songs as pieces of characters for the show and have actual performers perform the songs, not just perform as performance sake, but have them act in the show as well. Give them lines and make them a character of the show. And they bought it. Dave Alvin happened to be the first performer ever to perform in an FX show, and he happened to be Graham Yost, who is the executive producer, creator of the show. Dave is his favorite artist. Dave was enamored with the show and wrote a song called Harlan County Line, which is just awesome.
And so in this clip from the TV show Justified, Raylan Givens, this U.S. Marshal, played by Timothy Oliphant, and his ex-wife, who's also his current lover, Winona, have met up for a rendezvous and to go see Dave Alvin play.
What are we doing, Winona? What are we doing?
We're having some beers, and we're waiting for Dave Alvin to come on.
At a roadhouse 50 miles outside of Lexington.
Was he playing somewhere else tonight?
That's not my point.
What is your point?
If he was playing in Lexington, would we go see him? No. No, because we drive to the middle of nowhere anytime we want to be seen in public. We lie to everyone we know.
I thought we were being discreet.
Which I understood, when Gary didn't know about us.
Well, just because Gary knows about us doesn't mean the whole world needs to know about us.
I don't see why.
Because I'm still married, right?
What if you weren't?
Ladies and gentlemen, Dave Alvin.
Well, that's a longer conversation.
Hey, how y'all doing tonight?
Hey,
cause she had a voice I just wanted to believe. She said her mother was full-blood Cherokee and her daddy was a Union man down in the mines, fighting the good fight across the Harlan County line.
That is Dave Alvin with his song Harlan County Line, which he not only wrote for the show Justified, he performs it in the show. Greg Sill is the show's music supervisor. That's a really clever way, Greg, of getting around the expense of licensing a pre-recorded song. Get the guy to write one for you and perform it live there on the show. Have you been able to do that other times as well?
Yes, we have. We just, you know, as a matter of fact, I put Dave together with the composer of our show, Steve Picaro, and that's in an upcoming episode, and that song is just unbelievable, and Dave's going to put it on his new album, and, you know, it's an opportunity that, you know, just doesn't happen that often, and Dave wrote it out of, you know, just passion for the show, and back to Harlan County Line. The song was so good that we wound up using some of it as underscore.
Well, and it certainly, I mean, just there in the title, Harlan County Line, certainly refers to the place in which most of the action in Justified takes place. Now, I mentioned before, you know, Harlan is a place that we associate, and most of Kentucky, with Appalachia, with tradition, with, you know, that high, lonesome sound. You have gone for, you know, music that has a kind of contemporary edge. Why?
Well, for two reasons. One, you know, like I said, I went and talked to the writers and the producers, and Graham Yost specifically said, look, I don't want this to be a country show. You know, I want the characters to be contemporary, and I want the audience to be able to relate to them, and not that, you know, people can't relate to country music, but, you know, he wanted to create musical characters, and you know, that's what we're trying to do, and we're doing it more this season. You'll see it as the season goes on. There's more and more contemporary music. You know, we go with alt country, we go with, you know, a bunch of different kinds of bluegrass, and it just, you know, not that country western or bluegrass slows anything down, but it just, you know, you want the audience to be able to relate to the music, and what happens is there's kind of a detachment when it comes to country western and bluegrass music, you know, with the general populace. Not that it's not great music, because it is. You know, he just wants the show to become a little more contemporary and develop, you know, contemporary sounds for the characters.
So a little less easily pigeonholed as that country show.
Exactly.
Right. We're talking about Justified. I mean, the opening music that we heard by Gangsta Grass, there's a, you know, kind of self-explanatory name, gives you a hint of what they're going for with the music on the TV series. This is Orb Melon, alter ego of Mike Malone, the founder of the 90s indie band called Dirt Merchants, and this song, Long Way Home, was featured in this past week's episode of Justified.
Oh, my God, you left me here.
A little bit from last week's episode of Justified, courtesy of Orb Melon, a.k.a. Mike Malone. Greg Sill is the music supervisor of Justified. He's been on the line with us from L.A. Greg, nice speaking with you. Thanks very much for being with us.
Oh, my pleasure, man. Anytime.
And we're going to talk now to James Dean of the Cumberland River Band. His band's songs have been featured in several episodes of Justified. James, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you for having us. We really appreciate it.
So you're in the real Harlan County, right?
I am actually sitting right now in the real Harlan County.
How is it to find your music played in the fictional version of Harlan?
It's surreal. It really was. I mean, just to hear something that you put time and passion into to actually be on a national television show, it was very surreal and awe-inspiring.
Is the fictional Harlan anything at all like what you experienced there in real-life Harlan County?
I mean,
please say no. Someone. Please say no. I mean, the show is full of like gun runners and drug runners and numbers runners.
No, as far as that goes, no. But I mean, we have the same. I mean, we have the same problems that everybody has in every town. You know what I mean? I mean, there's drug problems here. Just the basic thing. I mean, it's just like any other small town in the United States.
Now, have they actually gone, the producers and the actors, to Harlan County and shot on location there? Have you had a chance to spend time with them?
Yes, actually, we last June, I know we had several writers in, and then the year before that, the writers and the producers, including Graham, came in, and we actually got a chance to meet them and do some, we performed for them too while they were here.
And this song called Justified, that's one of the songs you played for them when they came to Harlan, Kentucky?
Yes, yes it was. Actually, we had about a 24-hour notice and composed the music and wrote the lyrics for the song and went and played it for them and got a standing ovation from every one of them. And it was something now, I'm telling you.
Well, as gratifying as that standing O must have been, you must have been even happier when it actually made it onto the TV show. Justified appeared on the TV series of the same name.
Some people call me reckless, but I don't give a damn. They just see that I'm the law and forget I'm a Harlan man. There was a time I worked down in the mines. On my hands, most just don't like my way, they don't understand. So if you've got a problem with the way I live my life, I can help you close your eyes, and I think that's justified.
That is the Cumberland River Band. They whipped that song up in 24 hours when the producers of the TV series Justified came to Harlan, Kentucky. The song is called Justified. We're speaking with James Dean, who is the banjo player, singer for the Kentucky-based group Cumberland River Band. James, let me ask you something. In the show, this has a kind of ring of verisimilitude to it, so maybe you hear this in real life too, people talking about the holler. Growing up in the holler, what is that?
Yeah. The holler is a holler is basically a hollow, which is a natural niche cut down into the mountain. And if you were to be right now where I'm at, I'm actually in a holler. But what it is there's really no big vast areas of flat land here, you know, massive areas. So they would just go up into these hollows and build homes and communities all tucked back into these wooded areas.
And so the holler becomes like it's like the hood. It's the neighborhood.
That's it.
Okay.
That's it. It's our neighborhood.
And growing up there, what kind of music did you hear in the holler?
Bluegrass, of course, had a lot of bluegrass influence. Country, rock, hard rock. I was into rock and roll and heavy metal before I was even in bluegrass.
Mm-hmm. And what about, you know, we have this sort of romantic image of people in that part of the country spending the evening hours out on the front porch with banjos and guitars and everybody's playing music. Did any of that happen when you were growing up?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was plenty of that. I mean, it really did happen just like that. I mean, there was many, many, many nights where we were just sitting on the front porch or sitting in the living room. I can remember many of nights falling asleep in my mom and dad's living room listening to my dad and all his buddies play and wake up into the wee hours of the morning and they'll still be playing.
So if you hear like an old bluegrass classic like Bill Monroe's Little Cabin Home on the Hill, that rings true to you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can remember my dad and Joy's dad, the bass player, them playing that very song. I mean, for some reason, that song kind of stuck in my mind hearing them, you know, play that, and it always just kind of hung with me that, you know, that was just one of the songs that Dad and Gerald and all of them used to play.
So growing up in the holler, this is the kind of music that James Dean of the Cumberland River Band and the rest of the folks would have heard and maybe even played.
Tonight I'm alone without you, my dear. It seems there's a moment for you still. All I have to do now is sit alone and cry in a little cabin home on the hill. Well, someone has taken you from me and left me here all alone. Just to listen to the rain beat on my window pane in our little cabin home on the hill.
The legendary bluegrass hero Bill Monroe, Little Cabin Home on the Hill. We're talking with James Dean, banjo player and singer with the Kentucky-based group Cumberland River Band, and he's on the line with us from Harlan County, Kentucky, the site of the FX TV series Justified, which airs on Tuesdays at 10 o'clock. And James, aside from the fact that your music, your band's music, has been on the show several times, are you a fan of the program? Do you see things there that you feel kind of represent your home well to the rest of the country?
Oh, yes, very much so. I'm a big fan of the show, by the way. I actually watched it before that was even a thought in our minds. One thing that kind of stuck out to me was when they was last season in season two, they actually featured a lot of our music on this episode, was when they had had their get together and they had their family dinner. Everybody come down, brought a covered dish, sat around, ate, played music, and just kind of fellowshipped with each other. And that just really made me think of like how it really is here.
James Dean's with us from Harlan, Kentucky. It is the site of the TV series Justified, airing Tuesdays at 10. James Dean is with the band Cumberland River Band, based in Harlan, Kentucky. And James, a real pleasure speaking with you. Thanks for being with us on Soundcheck today.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Still to come, Justified has featured a song written by the country musician Daryl Scott not once, but twice. Here's Brad Paisley's version of his song, and it's called appropriately, and if you haven't seen the show, this is an appropriate title. It's called You'll Never Leave Harlan Alive.
Well, my granddad's dad walked down Kettering's Mountain, and he asked Tilly Hilton to be his bride.
Brad Paisley's version of Daryl Scott's song, You'll Never Leave Harlan Alive. Daryl Scott himself will join us to play live in our studio in just a moment. Speaking of live performances, you can join Soundcheck for a live taping with the Robert Glasper Experiment and special guest, the Grammy-nominated R&B artist Bilal. They'll join us on Monday, February 27th, live in the Green Space at 2 p.m. Get your tickets now, wnyc.org/soundcheck.
With whatever bitter brew you're drinking, spend your life just thinking of how to get away. No one ever knew there was gold in the mountains. In the deep dark hills of eastern Kentucky, that's the place where I trace my bloodline.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. The country singer and songwriter Daryl Scott knows a thing or two about the fictional world of Harlan, Kentucky that we see in the TV show Justified. That's because his family hails from southeastern Kentucky. He lives in Nashville now, where he's a pretty busy guy, writing songs for folks like Brad Paisley and the Dixie Chicks. He was also tapped to join Robert Plant in the Band of Joy. We'll hear more about all the musical hats he wears, but first, we'll hear a song. Daryl Scott, live on Soundcheck with No Use Living for Today.
There's no use living for today.
there's no use living for today. Well, today was once tomorrow, and today is tomorrow's yesterday. There's no use living for today. The girl I love is up and gone, she's gone. The girl I love is up and gone. She left yesterday morning, and by supper time I had a brand new song. The girl I love is up and gone. At my door, got a big black cat and he's scratching at my door. He runs by me kind of funny, 'cause I've never let him in before. Well, the cat is scratching at my door. Everybody needs some time away, don't you think? Everybody needs a little bit of time away. She'll only be gone for the weekend, but it feels like Sunday every day. Everybody needs a little bit of time. They need a little bit of time away. Coming in on the 1209. Yeah, my baby's coming in on the 1209. She will ask me about the weekend, and I'll lie and tell her it was fine, baby. She'll be coming in on the 1209. There's no use living for today. Yesterday, there's no use living for today. Well, today was once tomorrow, and today's tomorrow's yesterday. There's no use living for today.
That is Daryl Scott, live on Soundcheck. No Use Living for Today. And man, that there's a for someone who we sort of just kind of blithely announce as a country singer-songwriter, there's a lot of folk, blues, maybe a little East Texas swing, a little...
Yeah.
And, you know, all kinds of stuff going on
there.
Yeah,
a little Hey Joe in there, too, at the end.
Very nice.
Thank you. Thanks, John. Thank you, man.
So before we get too far away from the TV series Justified that we were talking about before, we heard your song, You'll Never Leave Harlan Alive.
Uh-huh.
Was that written for real-life Harlan, Kentucky, or for
oh,
this...
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. That was written... Oh, my family comes from Harlan County... they moved just over 100 years ago from Harlan County, Kentucky, coal mining area, to poor farming, tobacco farming. And believe it or not, that was some version of a step forward economically at the time, I guess. And really the song, yeah, my family's absolutely from Harlan County on both sides of my family. And the song I wrote really about a great-grandfather who kind of exited family history. He did something unacceptable or bad about 100 years ago. And what happens, and it's like excommunication, basically. Uh-huh. So,
like shunning or something?
Complete,
like that?
To where you don't know where he went after he was kicked out or whatever. You don't know where he died. You don't know if he remarried, any of that kind of thing. You're not supposed to talk about him kind of thing. And so I went on a sort of a research project, not for a song, but for just family, trying to figure out, you know, where did this guy go?
Did you know what he had done?
No, absolutely not. I mean, I have my own guesses, but I'm only left to guess because in the, you know, the folks are dead, of course, who could have told us. And since they didn't pass it on, you know, to generations like me, you know, 100 years later or whatever. So I'm left to guess. Mm-hmm. The only thing I know about him is that he played banjo. And, you know, I play banjo, I play other instruments, and I was always drawn to, well, what happened to this
You know,
guy?
There's a banjo joke in there.
Yeah, there's bound to be, you know, a 1001st banjo joke about something. Yeah.
Great-grandpa played the banjo, out he goes.
Yeah. So I just went researching literally at the courthouse in Harlan County, looking at old microfiche and things like that to try to research, you know, death certificates, anything. Oh, short story of it, the courthouse burned down in 1905 or something like that. And so there were 2 or 3 years of records lost. And then I even went to the graveyard area where, in this holler, particular holler where my great-grandparents came from, looking for, you know, turning over headstones, anything like that. And that it's kind of really that setting of being in that holler with that really, you know, about a week later, the song came popping out. Again, not as, I went as researching my family. I didn't go to write a song. But anyway, it did turn into a song a week, about a week later. And that was probably 12 years ago.
So well before the TV series Justified.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's the story of You'll Never Leave Harlan Alive. Do you find that your roots in southeastern Kentucky sort of pop up in unexpected ways and places in your writing?
Oh, absolutely. Because I'm not a formulaic writer. I mean, I guess I have some tools in which to do some of that stuff with. But I find the better songs, the more true, genuine kind of songs come from a place of you just have to write them. Mm. You know, they're coming from something that you're trying to process in your life, basically. And so Harlan County or Kentucky or my, you know, my dad who never finished high school. I mean, whatever you want to call that, poor folks, you know, farmer folks, rural people, country people. Yeah, it pops up all the time, you know, even though, you know, I've done things like gone to college. I went to Tufts University and graduated with honors, with an English degree and stuff like that. And or played music beyond, you know, what my family grew up given me, but yeah, that pull is always there.
Can you summon it at will? I mean, if the Dixie Chicks or Travis Tritt says, "I need a song, write me something," you know, does it work like that?
No. What you have at the end of it is, in my experience, when you have that scenario, you have a song that sounds like you thought about writing for Travis Tritt or Dixie Chicks. The authentic stuff comes from a place where you can't help it. So, for example, when Travis Tritt recorded It's a Great Day to Be Alive, I'd already had it on my first record, you know. Dixie Chicks, the songs they've cut of mine were always on my records first, so they came by them through somehow connecting to the songs, I guess.
And maybe they're hearing that authenticity in the songs.
Maybe, yeah. I would like to think so.
We're speaking with Daryl Scott, guitarist and pianist. Actually, you're going to move to the piano for this next song.
I'm going to head there right now.
Okay. The song is called Too Close for Comfort. Daryl is playing for us live here in the Soundcheck studio today. Tonight, he'll be down the road at Joe's Pub here in Manhattan at 7 p.m. performing as well. Here he is at our piano with Too Close for Comfort.
In a bar, in a hotel, in Atlanta downtown. He's a long way from home. Boys, he's pouring them down. There's a lady in waiting, a warm midnight friend. Oh, but it's that sweet, sweet southern comfort again. It's cool conversation, and it's courage in a glass. He don't tell her he's married, and she don't even ask. They're just
comfort again. Sweet southern comfort, crossing the line, lying with strangers one more last time. Oh, cheating is a game that nobody wins. Oh, he got too close to comfort again. Now with the ring on his finger, he holds the door wide, and there's no hesitating as they both step inside. To lay down an impression that's sweeter than sin. Oh, but it's just that sweet, sweet southern comfort again. And he looks in the mirror in the cold morning light, and he stares at a young man with age in his eyes. He started this dance, but the song has no end. No, he just got too close to comfort again. Oh, sweet southern comfort, crossing the line, lying with strangers, oh, one more last time. Oh, cheating is a game that nobody wins. No, he got too close to comfort again. And again, he got too close to comfort again.
Once again, Daryl Scott live in our studio, this time at the piano playing Too Close to Comfort. I think I may have said Too Close for Comfort before, which is...
It's close.
It's close, but not close enough. I mean, this is from the new record called Long Ride Home. Mm-hmm. Obviously, a different, more fleshed out sound on the record, because you've got... First of all, this new album was a long time coming, Long Ride Home.
Very long time coming, because basically it's... a collection of probably my most country music style stuff, and a couple of songs from it literally go back to when I was 16 years old, and I wrote them with my dad. And my dad was never a published writer or made records or anything. I finally made a record with him when he was 71.
Wow!
But he loved it. He just did it because he had to and wanted to. So one time. We were living in Southern California, and he rented a cabin up in Big Bear Lake, up in the San Bernardino Mountains, just for the two of us to go up and write songs. And two of those songs are on this new record, so that's how far back this stuff goes.
So you actually got to... your dad's not with us anymore, right?
Yeah, he just passed away about 2.5 months ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you. Yeah, unexpectedly. They're in... he was always one of the greatest, safest drivers I've ever seen, and he pulled out in front of a semi down in Corbin, Kentucky, just, November 18th.
Mm. But you did get a chance sort of late in the day to record with your dad.
Yeah.
Which must be all the more poignant now to have that kind of his love of music documented. Did you guys grow up playing music together?
Was absolutely.
Family band kind of thing?
Oh, absolutely. And it's kind of like your guest, James Dean, from before was talking about... for a lot of families, you know, they do things together. Some families do baseball or hunting or who knows what. Ours was music. And it's the kind of thing that you would do in your kitchen, in your living room, on the front porch, or wherever, in church. I remember playing even prisons with my family when I was a little kid. And anywhere where you could play music, basically. Mm. And that's how I grew up doing that.
Let's give people a chance to hear you and your dad, Wayne.
Yeah.
This song is called The Country Boy. It's a duet between Wayne and Darryl Scott, father and son.
He's singing to their broken hearts. That's all that's left to do. The country boy has been there. That's what makes him sing the blues. It's not the drinks you bought him. It's not the tips you gave. From the rocking of his cradle to the covering of his grave.
Sorrow he goes through. The country boy's been there. That's what makes him sing the blues.
The Country Boy. It's a duet between my guest Darryl Scott and his late dad Wayne. This is on the record.
On
Long Ride Home.
Absolutely.
And are you carrying on this family music tradition yourself?
Yeah, I certainly am, and my brothers are, and we all are in our own way. It's funny, when the music runs that deep into your childhood and stuff, it's hard to escape it. And so somewhere in my early 20s, I did try to escape it in that I moved up to Boston where no one knew me, started this new thing that no one knew me to do, which was, school and going to college and stuff. And I kind of tried to reinvent myself, basically. And so after 5 years of school, I came back to music, and I've been with it ever since. And just to make that change where it felt like it was my decision rather than this thing I was sort of bred to do.
And was it always kind of roots music, Americana? I mean, did you dally with rock or jazz or anything like that?
Yeah, I love jazz fusion, especially, through the 70s. And
you mean like Return to Forever, Weather Report, Chick Corea, that sort of stuff?
Yeah, that was the New York stuff. The LA stuff was Tom Scott and the LA Express or the Crusaders. And so, I dabbled in all that, and especially the singer-songwriter world, the folk folks, Leonard Cohen, Joni Mitchell, Jackson Browne, all those were my heroes, basically. Mm-hmm.
And Hey Joe, of course.
And Hey Joe, yeah, I learned that one.
Well, Darryl, it's been a real pleasure having you with us on Soundcheck today. And
thanks, John. Thank
congratulations
you.
On the long-awaited release of the new album. It's called Long Ride Home. Darryl Scott is playing tonight at Joe's Pub at 7 o'clock. This is Soundcheck.
I let it ring a thousand times. I guess you'd say there was nobody home. I asked the landlord if he knew about the girl in 302. He said, yeah, the girl just up and moved away. Praise be to loneliness. Must be Sunday. It's been a month of Sundays since you said goodbye. 30 days of grieving, tears in my eyes.
A little more music from my guest Darryl Scott. This is called It Must Be Sunday from his new album called Long Ride Home. And that's going to do it for Soundcheck today. On our next program, why some music genres merely survive while others thrive. Plus, the Portuguese singer Ana Moura performs live in our studio. And we want you to join us online this Sunday for a live chat during the Grammy Awards. Starting at 8 p.m., I'll host a running commentary about the telecast, the big winners, the big losers, and, of course, the live performances, and I'll be joined by Sophie Harris of Time Out New York, bloggers from right here at New York Public Radio, and hopefully you. Our live chat during the Grammys starts at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Soundcheck page at wnyc.org/soundcheck. Our technical director is Irene Trudell, the program produced by Katie Bishop and Greta Cohn. Our senior producer is Joel Meyer. We had help today from Gina Joldasis and Chris Nolan. And we're saying goodbye to one of our interns today, Rachel Davis Smith. Thanks, Rachel, for everything you've done, and best of luck. I'm John Schaefer. Tune in tomorrow for another Soundcheck. It must be so.